Father, we just worship you this morning. Lord, I pray that as we stand in your presence, that you will come and you will restore joy in our hearts. Father, overflowing joy. Joy that doesn't make sense in this world, because we know that you are enthroned on high. That every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that you are Lord. Father, thank you that you are enthroned in heavens, that the earth is your footstool, and there's nothing that is impossible for you. We just bring highest praises to you this morning. We just bring highest praises to you. Be glorified in our midst, Father. Lord, have your way in our midst. Thank you that you are here, God. We worship you this morning, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, let's give the Lord a praise offering here. Come on. He is worthy. Woo, come on. Ben, thank you very much. That was awesome. Listen, you just could have just as well preached my sermon this morning. So thank you for that amazing intro, and that you heard the Lord, and that we know he's here. So good morning and welcome to the gathering of the saints. Just turn to someone and say, morning, saint. And that's not the movie, okay? That's not the movie. come on, I just so, my heart resonates with what Elisna shared and even the worship, that our God is with us. He is for us. He is here. He's got amazing plans for us. If we would just pause and take a moment to see what he's busy doing, we will stand amazed at what he is doing. So you see what I'm going to preach about this morning. The Lord is with us. And I tell you, that shifts stuff. But I want to start off with this. Do you expect God, or do you still believe that he is faithful to do what he has done? Now, yes, but wait, pause. Before you say anything, if you consider what you've been thinking about, if you consider all the information that's come your way, whether from a business point of view, you know, whether it's about corona or vaccines, or whether it's just your health or whatever, whatever information has come your way, do you in the midst of that still believe that your God is able to do what he has said? Or has that made you go, yo, I'm not so sure. Or someone's gift just got a kick. If that's yours, I apologize. Caleb, tell net goed daai opsie nie omgee nie. Right. Because we need to settle in our hearts, and I believe you there, but you know, there's in scripture we see that we need to be careful that we don't become haughty in our thinking, but that we stay rooted in the one who is able to do amazing things. Now, I love what your listener shared this morning. She started off even the portion of scripture, how Moses engages the Israelites, and he gets there and he says, listen, this is what our God is about to do. You know, we're gonna you know the funny thing about that is they had the promise of God saying, we're gonna go to the promised land. Now, it's amazing if you think about this, that God took the time to save Moses from actually being killed, you know, raises him up in Pharaoh's house, then sends him back to his people going, listen, by the way, God's going to take you out of here, and we're going to go places. We're going to go to that promised land. They're in the middle of slavery. It's looking terrible, you know, and as can you imagine this? As Moses negotiates with Pharaoh, Pharaoh goes like, just make their job harder. You know, take away the straw so that they must, or, you know, they must fetch their own straw and make their own bricks, and we don't give stuff for them. They must do it. And as this process continues, can you imagine if you were one of them and things just get worse? Would you have liked Moses? I think there was a few guys that would have said, we want to see you in the donker hoekie around the corner, you know, just we need to talk, Moses. And it's what happened. They really didn't like him. But Moses persisted, and he went before Pharaoh, and God did amazing miracles, and then they leave. And we know the story. They get to the Orange River, and the Orange River, oh, sorry. they went fishing. They get to the sea and things. And as we read the story, we just see how God does amazing. You know, water from a rock, food from heaven. I mean, come on, guys. Who of you stressed in when we didn't have water? You know, when Cape Town was like, I thought, Lord, if you could have done it in the Bible, then I'm going to slap the side of my house and there will be water. Come on, we need to have faith for great amazing things. Now, I would have had a sign up at my gate saying, water available, just come and drink. That's the kind of faith we should have. Now, not in any case. But I would have loved to be there to see what God has done in their midst. And now I'm going to pick up the story when we get to Numbers 14. Okay, let me read this and then I'll give some context, but you know the context probably. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Then the whole congregation said to them, would that we have died in the land of Egypt. That's a hectic confession. All right, so they must really not have been in a good space. Or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? To fall by the sword. Our wives and our little ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? I mean, this last part, why did the Lord? There's an accusation that they're bringing against God, you know, that I so hear in the times that we are in at the moment. Why did the Lord do this? Why is the Lord allowing this? What is happening here? You know, and so many times when we face various things, it's interesting, even as I counsel people, the first question that I encounter is why? You know, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why is this? You know what's the problem with the why question? There's no answer. I always say, if I had the ability to answer the why question, I will be really rich. Because people will come from over the world to ask me why. And then I can answer the why question for a couple of rand, obviously. Or a couple of thousand, depends on the problem. But here they come and they say, why is the Lord bringing us into this land? Remember, they're on the way to the promised land. They have God's promises that He has spoken to them through generations. Now, finally, they are at the doorstep of stepping into this promised land. And what do they go? Why? Why is God bringing? And look here, they even accuse God of, you know, our wives and our little ones will suffer. This is going to be terrible for them, what the Lord is doing here now. You know, maybe we should just go back to Egypt. At least we had food there. Forgetting, being ignorant, not looking at all the miracles that God has done. You know, if we think as a congregation, we're sitting here, God has given us incredible, amazing promises. Are we ready to step in that? You know, or why are we going at this time? God, why are you delaying stuff? Maybe you've been praying and God is speaking to you about stuff and you're at that point where you feel like, why is the Lord taking so long? Why is things not happening here? And they were in the same place. Remember, they just got the news, right? They send out the 12 spies into the land. Those 12 spies, I mean, they obviously looked forward when these 12 guys walked in for, yes, we're getting this promised land, you know. We're going to have new houses, you know, lack of paving there in front of it. You know, we're going to braai every Saturday. This is going to be amazing. Milk and honey, all you can ask for. I mean, when they come back with that groot drywer tros, I mean, I would have loved to see that. Okay? All the wine farmers in Cape Town would have gone, yes! You can make grapes like it's, you know, wine like it's going out of fashion. Now, Hagen, I say. So we would have had a different vintage. The promised land vintage. Maybe you should brand one. Yeah, okay. Royalties, no? No, I'm just But here they get the news. These guys coming back and 10 of them go like, boys, there are giants in this land. Nephilim, the sons of Anak, huge people. We felt like grasshoppers in their sight. We look like, no. Look at that big. I mean, when you stand next to Eugene, I kind of feel like that. You know, Eugene always looks down at me. I'm not sure what's happening here. But can you imagine they walking here in what's supposed to be the promised land and all these big dudes are there? Looking down at them, looking intimidating. They know their heritage. They know this is Nephilim. This is mean oaks that is in the promised land. And they go like, we're not doing this. This is, never mind the good report of the two guys. If this is about averages, then nobody would have said, let's go with the two. You know, maybe they had too many grapes. They weren't feeling so lucky. Maybe they saw stuff that the other guys don't. But these guys came out and said, listen, we can take this land. Our God is for us. And they go like, no, look at what the ten is saying. Where are you coming from? No one wanted to entertain the thought at that moment that God was for them. Now, I just think about this. Listen, they didn't have PA systems. You know, mega speakers there with, Moses on the mic going, yo, yo, people, we need to speak about it. No, there was none of that. So they had this gathering with the 12 guys there and Moses, and they there in the front, and they're having the story. How did that news spread so quickly through the congregation? What was the influence of those that were standing in front that said, we are rejecting the two? We are believing the ten. And their report, their choice to believe that spread through that, what, how many million Israelites like that? No Google. No internet. And even the guy at the back knew, we are not listening to the two. Stone them. And I just, as I was thinking, I was really thinking when I was thinking, that how can a few guys like that influence the multitudes? They obviously were people that were respected in their community, because obviously they were closer, they needed to get there. They were probably the heads of the different tribes that were closest. And I don't know what they said to their wives, but man, the Bos Telegraaf het laat loop. And everybody knew. Sorry, ladies, historically, that is true. All they wanted to do is go back to where they came from. You know, in that moment, where was the people that stood up and said, but God gave us water out of the rock. He's feeding us every day. He gives us the cloud. And they start remembering and declaring what God did for them up to that point. Where were those people that cited with the two and said, listen, wait a minute, let's just think about this? Or were they just silenced at that point? You know, the fear gripped their hearts so much that they wanted to stone the leaders that God appointed over them at that time. In verse 4 of Numbers 4, we said, and they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. So they wanted to stone them, take out these leaders that has brought them through a bunch of miracles to the doorstep of the promised land, and then go, we're choosing another leader and we are going back. And I look at these guys and I'm like, oh, come on, people. You can see it. It's on the other side of the orange. You can see that. That's Namibia, see. But they're looking at Jericho. Sorry, I must stop that. But they're standing on this side of the river. They can see the promised land. They can see where God is leading them. They can see. You know, maybe you're in a place in your life where, you know, all you need to do is look up. Look across the water. Look across the challenge and see what God is about to do. The promises that He has spoken to us. You know, I sit here as the pastor and I think about all the promises God has given us as a congregation, and I go like, it's there. The harvest is there. I can see God doing incredible stuff. But if we look at the report of those that are going near people, we are going to die. Then it will make me reluctant to go across this river, right? Then I will go like, near billikies, ons gaan braai maar daar aan die kant. Let's go back to where we came from. Let's rather not engage this whole story because there are giants in this land. And only two guys go, we can take that. Now, in Numbers 14, verse 7, this is the report that the two gave. He said, and I said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. Wow. Is that not what God had in store for them? An exceedingly good land. You know, on the other side of the river, there is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, almost a question that they even pose in their report to those that are standing with him. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land. Yeah? And then he goes further and he says, and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. And then the caution, only do not rebel against the Lord. That's a strong word that comes with a good report. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread to us. A very interesting statement in my meaning. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Now, can I just say, if the Lord delights in us, if as we sit here today, we know and we believe that God delights in us, right? We have given our lives to Christ. Our lives belong to him. We are saved. We are the sons and daughters of God. We have found favor in his sight. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Don't tell me we don't have favor with God. He does not delight in us. So if he delights in us, will he not then give us the land? But then the caution that I believe God wants to give to us here and those listening and who knows who else is, do not rebel against the Lord. Do not look at the people that are inhabiting the place of promise at the moment and go, but our God cannot take us into that land. We will rather go back to where we came from. You know, can you imagine? You know, God is watching the scene playing out before him and he goes like, what is happening? I have been with you all this journey through the generations. You are my chosen nation. Come on, guys. It's a river and a city. Let's do this. And they go, no, wait a minute. They lost sight of the God in the midst of that. And all they saw was the physical, the people, the inhabitants of the problem. And I so love what Caleb says here. He says, man, they are bread to us. They are the very thing that's going to sustain us, that's going to give us life. If we conquer them, it will fuel us. Do not look to them, but look to our God. See them in the light of who God sees them. Sure, the sons of Anak, God. Let's just take them out. And I love what he says. God, the protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Now listen, saints. What he's saying is the Lord is with us and not with them. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God Almighty is with us and not with them. We've got the upper hand. We've got the favor. We can take this land. Why? Because the Lord is with us. He's not with them. They are already defeated. The protection is removed from them. We can take the land. We do not have to fear them. We do not have to look at them and go like, yo, but they're big. We can just take the land. And again, they will be our bread. They will be the thing that sustain us. They will be the thing that, you know, If you trust God for something and it happens, what happens? Your faith gets built, right? Come on, just go lead someone to Jesus in the street. Have you ever done that? Or your neighbor or whatever, lead anybody to Christ. Okay, when you're done, what happens? You just want to tell everybody. I mean, it's like you're on steroids or something. You just want to, excuse me, I need to tell you about Jesus. And or you're trusting God and the breakthrough comes. What happens? I mean, you are strong. You want to just go for it because it is bread to you. It's the thing that feeds your spirit. It's the thing that makes God real in your life when you see Him conquer stuff in your life, when He sees, when He breaks through into your situation. So what they are saying to the Israelites is, guys, the future is looking amazing. And they go, mm-mm. There's an amazing life on the other side of this river. The promised land is there. It's milk and honey. There's overflow. There's abundance. It's there. Let's just do this. And they go, mm-mm. Just do not reject God. But know that He is for us. And saints, I believe at this time, we need to settle in our hearts that God is for us. The Lord is for us. And that's not just in response to all the pandemic that we're facing. We need to understand that the Lord is for us right now. And whatever He has said, He will do and He will bring to pass. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not grow cold in your heart. Do not back off. Do not shrink back, but trust in the Lord fully. Now, their response to the leaders prompted a response from God. Quite a scary response, if you ask me. And God goes in Numbers 14, verse 11, He says, "And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe me in spite of all the signs I have done among them?" Now God responds and He goes like, what is going on here? How long will you despise me? How long, despite all the miracles that I've done in your life, will you choose not to believe in me? How long will you look at other things and sort of, you know, and he says to them, you harlot with the stuff of the world. But how long will you do that and that you're taking your eyes off of me and focusing on the stuff? That is really not important. That is mere giants. I've done so many miracles in your life. You know, and at that point, God actually wants to go, okay, Moses, I'm done. I'm just going to kill everybody. And then me and you'll move on. Oh, and I love Moses' response, and you can go and read it in the verses in between. But Moses starts interceding for the people before God and goes, God, this is your people. What would it look like that you saved them from Egypt, you brought them to the desert, and you annihilate them? What testimony is that going to be to the world? Because God was serious. He was done. You know, don't let God get fed up with you. He's got powers that we don't know. And I look at that and I go like, whoa, did they really anger God so much that He got to the point where He said, man, let's hit the reset button. Let's redo this thing because this is not working out for me. And it took one man to stand in God's presence and pray for him. You know, and I love so what your listener said that, you know, can we encourage one another? Can we declare over one another, let my people go? If you don't have the faith to stand, then be in the community of those that come around you can go like, but we'll stand on your behalf before God. You know, and I really see at this time how God is, how the world is, we Christians are being isolated. We've become comfortable with being in our homes and we neglect the gathering of the saints, not just here in small group, but generally. That place, where, like I said on last Sunday, where we can encourage one another, where my faith encourages your faith, where I can declare over you, let my people go, devil. And Moses does that. He goes and he prays and he said, Lord, please don't do this. You know, and despite that, God listened to him. And God said, I'll listen to you and I will not annihilate this bunch. But it is still declared over them what will happen. And we know this, that they spent 40 years in the desert. Now, there's a lot of places that I would like to spend 40 years and the desert's not one of them. You know what gets me about that moment is that despite that judgment, for the 40 years, God still sustained them, provided for them, still loved on His people. He did not abandon them. And then in verse 24, God picks up on something which I just want to sort of hit home here this morning. Verse 24 says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, listen to that. Because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and he and his descendants. So God is speaking of him. God recognizes, he looks at Caleb and he goes like, there's something different about this boy. He has a different spirit to those that are around him. And I'm going to bless him because of that. You know, and this blessing will be so amazing that it will not just be him that benefits, but his descendants. The very thing that the Israelites accused God of, that our children will now die, God is saying, my blessing will go down the generations. And is that not what Scripture says? For those that believe God, that trust in God, when he blesses us, it will go down the generations. Come on, what we're sitting here doing today, serving God, being passionate about him, will flow down to our children and our children's children and their children, and we'll see God's blessing down the generations. We are not just living this, walking this walk today because or for ourselves. We are the stepping stones of the for those that are yet to come. Lots of babies coming in this church. We are mere stepping stones. May they look at us and go like, wow. You know, if they think about this. We are part of history. You know, sometimes some years when I'm pushing up daisies, his kids are going to be in geschiedenis class learning about history, about this pandemic that we faced over this time. What are they going to read, saints? Are they going to read that we turned around as we were on the edge of the promised land? Are we going to be the ones that stand? Are they going to read how there were men and women full of faith and the Spirit of God, and it shifted stuff in their generation? And that freaks me out. That makes me think, makes me sort of falter. What is my response personally in a time such as this? What can I do and not do? How should I respond from my flesh or from God's perspective of this problem? Am I getting lost in the information, or am I keeping my eyes firmly fixed upon the God who said, but I'll take you there? You see, at this point, God didn't change his mind about taking them there. The promised land, he was doing this. And their perspective changed. They choose to look at other stuff. And I believe through this journey of Israel, we need to be cautious at what we, you know, who we listen to and what we look at the moment. But Caleb had a different spirit. He followed God fully. It was not negotiable to him. He was so passionate about God that he knew that his God was able to do this. You know, where Caleb saw opportunity, victory, blessing, the others just saw misery, failure, and defeat. What do we see at this time? In the midst of everything that is going on, do we see the victory? Do we see the blessing? Do we see our God doing amazing things? Or do we just see chamors? It's not going to work, Kobus. This is all fall down, brother. You know, we can pack up and go home. Jesus, let that rapture happen now. How are we responding at this time? You know, and I guess our response between those that are standing next to us and going, but this is the reality. Do we then point them to our real God and say, this is but who our God is in this time? Now, Numbers 14:33, this is what God said to the children, and your children shall be shepherds. This is now after this. This is actually so amazing. And what I said earlier about, you know, despite the fact that God said, you will spend time in the desert, I will sustain your children. This is what's happening, what God is saying. And your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and shall suffer for your faithlessness. Can that not happen in our generation? Where those that come after us have to suffer for our faithlessness. And I'm not saying we're there. You know, we are not through this pandemic yet, and through the changes and the effects of that. Can we not grow weary and faithless, and then that touches the generations that are to come? Until the last of your dead bodies lies in the wilderness, according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, a year for each day, you shall bear your iniquity 40 years, and you shall know my displeasure. I just wonder, you know, when I read that, is after this, what was the children's hearts toward the parents? Oh, there must have been, you know, could have been attitude against them that, why did you do that? Why did you not believe God? What happened? I think they probably would have gone, I don't know what happened. Don't know why we believed. And it touched their children. But I love what God is saying, that, you know, that despite what happened here, that God was going to sustain their children in that harsh environment and then still bring them into the promised land. So I want to say this, that God's mind and his heart's not changed for us to inherit the promises. If we delay, it will be the next generation that will go there. And we need to understand it. And as fathers and mothers at this time, may we be found faithful to pursue God in such a way that they will actually enjoy the promised land with us, not without us. That every promise that God has given us as a married couple, and you as married couples and families, that you will step into that, but you will take your children with you. That blessing of what God is doing will flow down the generations and not be have to play out in a desert somewhere. 40 years, people. Who's 40? How long did it take you to get there? It's a long time. It took you 40 years. Well done, you persevered, you made it. Who's not 40 yet? Praise the Heere, he's nog jongens. Okay, so they're still on the journey. Saints, I just want to conclude and maybe just touch on this. You know, we've looked at Psalm 1, and Psalm 1 starts off this way. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And three things I want to lift out here. Three things that I didn't see before. I actually shared it yesterday at Steon and Melissa's wedding, by the way. They got married yesterday. They are now married. They are not here this morning because they are on honeymoon. Can we just give them a hand? Come on. Baie geluk. If you're watching this, I'm not sure. But three things that stand out for me. Where you walk, where you stand, and where you sit matters. With whom you walk, and in this case, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. You know, if you're walking with people, it means that you're on a journey with them. You are, you know, going somewhere with them. And if they are in counseling you in ungodly ways, your walk will be affected. If you stand, and we know from Scripture that having put on the armor and stand, it means that I'm taking a stance for something and with someone in something. I have resolved not to be moved. So if I stand in the way of sinners, it means I'm positioning myself in such a way that I can receive their counsel and their input. And that counsel input makes that I stand for something. It makes a difference what you stand for. And then those that sit in the seat of scoffers. In other words, they've made their house, their dwelling place. They sat down. They moved in with these guys. And God says, if you do not do this, if you do not spend your time, if you do not walk in that way, stand that way, sit with them, then your life will be blessed when you meditate actually in the law of the Lord. And like I said last week, I believe at this time, the sword of the Spirit needs to be drawn without its sheath. And we need to start proclaiming the Word of God. We need to walk with God at this time. in His counsel, His way of doing. We need to stand for the things that God is calling us to stand for. And we need to stand with Him in this time, knowing that His promises will not fail. He will not default in any way to bring about what He is about to do in our generation. And then we need to sit in His presence. We need to receive His word and His counsel so that we don't become scoffers. That we are the voice of God in this time proclaiming His will and His plans for this generation. Saints, I want to say it's up to us. Really, I believe there's a caution of the Lord that I'm carrying in my spirit at this time that we need to be careful on how we tread from here on. And what choices we make and what we listen to and who we walk with. The internet has become the source where we can listen to everything and anything. We better filter what we're listening to. Because it is going to determine who we walk with. Who we stand for. And where we make our home. So let this example of Israel be a reminder for us today. That God is on us, on a journey with us. He has not changed His mind. And we know from Scripture, their children inherited. But you remember, something is quite interesting. Caleb was quite old at that point. And when he walked in, he said to Moses, after they've conquered everything, they've taken the land, they said, listen, buddy, give me the high ground. Otopi. Saying, I want to take on the guys on the hills in the mountains. And you know what? He went on his old age because of the blessing of the Lord and he conquered it. There's nothing impossible for those that stand with God. I don't care what the situation is. When He calls us into, you will take the land because that's your inheritance. That's your promise. So I want you this week to take out the promises that God has spoken over your life. I categorically believe that I will not die until God is done with me. No war, no pandemic, no nothing will kill me until such a time. Will I get sick? Oh, who knows? But that's not the main concern. The main thing is here, can we inherit the promises of God for our lives? Can we press into that? You know, even in the focus groups that we're going to run, there's a component there where we want to disciple you on how to do these things in your daily life so that you can become more like Christ where He is calling you. You become the hands and feet of Jesus, the voice of God in that situation. I just want to say it again. Be careful how you respond when you hear information and reports around you. Be careful who you listen to and do not rebel against the Lord. Do not choose to stand in unbelief. You know, what if the way to revival is through this land of giants, is through this pandemic? What if on the other side of this pandemic there is a revival like we haven't seen in our lives? All we have to do is walk through this. All we have to do is remain faithful to inherit the promise of God. Where this venue is going to be too small, that we will have a streaming link to the parking area so that people can be here and that people will come to Christ. Is that not the promises of God for us? God, the Lord is with us, people. The Lord is with us, not them. The Lord is with us. I want you to hear it. The Lord is with you. Turn to someone and say, the Lord is with us. Maybe encourage them and say, the Lord is with you. Why are you afraid? Why do you shrink back? Why are you not bold? Well, I'm already. Saints, may we become bold like never before because we know that the Lord is with us, that He is our God, that He is able to do anything. Let's stand.